Today we're going to be talking about Exodus 13 and a few verses in there. You know, it's just like me. You know, when a couple of years ago, when Pastor Hiroshi and Pastor Chris were teaching in the Old Testament, I was teaching in the New Testament. So now they're teaching in the New Testament, I jump back to the Old Testament. If you want to, you can go ahead and turn in your Bible to Exodus 13. Part of it is in your bulletin. But we're going to talk about remember. This kind of came to me when I was thinking about why we Christians, we believers here at Mitaki, why we gather, why we get together to fellowship. And I began to meditate on that. You know, why do we get together with other believers here at Mitaki? Why do we get together in our homes, in our apartments, in our dormitories, at restaurants, especially the Filipinos? You go to restaurants or Costco, there are the Filipinos, you know, fellowshipping. That's good. Yeah, it's good. And the reason, I think, one of the important reasons the Bible teaches us that we gather, that we fellowship, we get together to fellowship, is to remember. So today we're going to look at the value and the importance of remembering as followers of Jesus Christ. We've all had conversations that start with the phrase, remember when, right? Do you remember, you know, my sister and I have had those conversations this past week and for the past few months over the phone and Skype and things like that, talking about when we were kids or talking about our mother, you know. We have those times when we say, remember when? We've all spent time reflecting on things that we've experienced in our lives. And there are some important things that we should remember in our lives, very important things. Here's one of the important things for men to remember. Okay, men, are you listening? Here's something you should remember. Never, ever, ever, ever ask a woman, are you pregnant? Not good, not safe. Should never ask that unless she's your wife. She might just be, you know, never mind. Here's another one for the wives to remember. Remember, Cindy, wives, that men will never, ever really want to wash the dishes after a meal. They might do it, but they'll never really want to, so keep that in mind. Just two for today. And there's some other important things I like. You know, remember that you're loved, remember that you're people somewhere are thinking about you, those kinds of things. But those two I mentioned are very important. So, but seriously, remembering is important for believers. It's valuable, and it can make a big difference in our life. In a study at a university in America called Emory University, researchers found that our memories affect our sense of identity. Our memories affect our relationships, and they affect what choices we will make later on in our lives. Things that have happened to us and things that have happened because of us are so valuable. A lot of our conversations, though, or about our futures, right? We talk about tomorrow or next week. For example, what are you going to do after you leave Japan? What are you going to do tomorrow? How can I get out of going to work tomorrow? Or whatever, things like that, right? Am I going to be on time for the test? Am I going to file my paperwork on time to meet my research deadline? We talk about tomorrow and the next day. So we're kind of focused on tomorrow. But I think the Bible has an important lesson, a valuable lesson for believers, and it is this lesson. And remember this. In a world, in a society, in a culture, in our world that is focused on tomorrow, we must not forget the value of yesterday. One more time. In a world that's focused on tomorrow, we must not forget the value of yesterday. We need to lean back in our experiences. And as we do it, it will impact our walk with God. It'll impact, it'll do something for us. You know, part of the reason I did this personally is because I have a tendency to look back, and I've told you this, I've shared this with you before. I look back at my regrets, and I dwell on those. And I drive an hour to work, you know, one way and then back another way. Sometimes I go, oh, I shouldn't have, or I wish I would have. And I do that too often, and I'm dealing with that. But that's not what we're talking about today. So it's talking about going back into our past and seeing the important things and seeing what God's done for us. But before I begin to really teach on this today, I want us to do something that I used to do as a performance improvement instructor for the U.S. government. And here's what we're going to do, and you're going to love me for it. We're going to share with each other for 3 or 4 minutes and then come back to listen to me for a while. So what I'd like for you to do is not go across the room or anything, but get with 3 or 4 people close to you where you're sitting right now, and I want you to discuss something. I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes with 3 or 4 people, or 2 or 3 people, it's either way, it's good. And here it is. So you want to write this down or type it or just remember it. Get together for about 4 or 5 minutes with 3 or 4 people, 2 or 3 people. What is one of your favorite memories from your childhood? What is one of your favorite memories from your childhood? Okay? You got 3 or 4 minutes. I'm setting my iPhone, so don't go over. You'd be in trouble. Ready? Get with 2 or 3 others. Ready? Go. One of your favorite memories from childhood. One of my favorite memories is one afternoon, a Saturday afternoon. My stepdad, Tom Holland, was a busy, busy man. He worked long, long hours. And I asked him, I'd been asking him, you got to take me fishing. We got to take me fishing. And one day he came back Saturday at noon and he said, Kevin, let's go. And I said, oh, I get to go work with you in the field again? And he said, no, we're going fishing. And he grabbed his fly rod, and he grabbed my fly rod, and he said, I'm going to teach you how to fly fish right over there in the Kinder Canal. And we spent the whole afternoon, and we caught little bass and a few catfish and some perch all on artificial lures. And I was just amazed, and my dad was so good, and he'd say, watch. And he'd put that fly right under a branch or something. It was just so, that was a special memory. And I still have a picture of the stringer of fish that we caught. Those are important. You know, I wish I could go around and listen to all of them. I won't repeat Pastor Chris's, but he can tell you that one if he wants. But it's fun to remember. It's fun to remember, and it's good to remember. In verse 3 of Exodus 13, Moses encourages the people of Israel to remember the same people who, along with their ancestors, had spent the last 430 years in slavery. Now, kind of odd, right? They're 430 years in slavery. Why is he encouraging them to remember? Every day they were oppressed and tormented by the Egyptians. How much so were they hated by their Egyptian slave masters? This is how much they were hated. The leader of Egypt, the Pharaoh, mandated that every newborn Jewish baby boy be thrown into the Nile River. I can't imagine the terror the mothers of those babies felt as their children were ripped from their arms and thrown in the river to drown, or even worse, when you think about the Nile crocodile and all of that. But how terrible. But one mother refused to submit to the rule that Pharaoh had laid down. And so she got a basket and she put some mud that wouldn't leak, some pitch we call it, put her some pitch in this basket so that it would float, and she put her baby boy into the Nile River, but not as Pharaoh had commanded, so that the basket would float, and she put him at the edge of the Nile River, and we know that this child's name is Moses. And we also know that the person to rescue this child was the daughter of Pharaoh, the same leader who had said, throw all the babies into the river. So Pharaoh's daughter took Moses in and adopted him and cared for him as her own son. We know that from this story alone that Moses was special. He survived when all the odds were against him. And as an adult, Moses would once again defy the odds. Moses received a call directly from God to be the leader, or to lead the exit, or as our Bible calls it, the Exodus. Not the Brexit, the exit or the Exodus. You know, and this is the exodus of God's people out of the cruel oppression these people had known for centuries. So our text today, we'll get there, is from Exodus 13. But in chapter 12, we can read about how God gave the people of Israel very detailed instructions on how to avoid the plague that was about to come on the Egyptians. And we call that the Passover. And immediately after the Passover, it's a celebration, we have the Exodus. But today we're not going to read chapter 12 or the first 12 chapters. But if you want to for homework this week, you can read Exodus 1 through 12. And you'll see, oh, that kind of fits into what Pastor Kevin was saying. So homework, chapters 1 through 12, and Chris will grade you next week on that. So, but our text for today is Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. And I've chosen it out of the English Standard Version because it, just for one reason, it chooses the word remember instead of commemorate, because we know the word remember. So let me read from Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. So here we see Moses giving firm instructions to remember. Basically what he's saying is this. Let this day leave a mark in your life and for the lives that come after you. Remember, because what you are experiencing right now is too good to forget. What you're experiencing right now is too good to forget. This is a day that we, as the community of God, Moses was saying, will always hold on to. Then he goes on to explain in verses 4 through 8, how to go about the practice of remembering. He tells them to tell their children about it. And then in verse 9, we read this. Verse 9 of chapter 13. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that this law is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. Now look at those few words of that verse, not the whole verse, but just right there, a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead. Now today, Orthodox Jews still practice this, literally. What they do is they take strips of a certain kind of paper and they will write this verse from chapter 13, verse 9, they'll write it on a piece of paper and they'll wrap it up and fold it up and put it into a small box. And then they'll strap that on their hand or on their forearm, and then they'll strap it around the same verse around their forehead before they go into morning prayers. The men do this still today. But Jesus would later speak out against this practice, right? Because it became more of a show than an actual act of remembrance. But see, at the root of this ritual is the memory of the Israelites being delivered by God out of Egypt. So there's a value to pausing to remember, and it's the heart of this practice today. Why do they remember? Why did they remember that? Because they were in slavery 430 years, and now they've been set free. And it's too good to forget. And that's why Moses is saying, remember this. What would happen if you and I did something like that this week? If we got a slip of paper and we wrote down something that God has done for us recently, and we folded it up and we put it in our wallet, we put it in our purse, and every time we'd reach in there for some change or a coin or a 1,000 yen note, we'd pull it out and say, oh, that's when God did that for me. And we'd look around for somebody to share it with. God did this. I was really sick one time. I was really sick in sin, and God delivered me. What would happen? There are significant moments in our lives in which God did something for us, and we need to remember them. It's good for us to remember them. So why do we remember? Because it's just too good to forget. What is unfortunate, though, right now, we live in an age where we move from one significant event to another one, right? It's really true in sports. How are the carp doing? Really, really stink, right? We want them to be so great. Why? Well, we have to go back a little bit further. My sister and I from Louisiana, we have a football team there called the New Orleans Saints. And they were so good a few years ago, they won the national championship. But it took us 38 years before they won the national championship. 38 years. So they were so bad sometimes, we didn't call them the Saints, we called them the Aints. That's true. That's true. And we were all thinking, wow, we hate the Cowboys because they win. We didn't know what it's like. So they won. Yay, Super Bowl champions. And then the next year, they went downhill. And they're still going downhill since then. So we wanted them to win every time we go from one significant event to the next. And the carp, too, right? Last year, they won the championship. I have a T-shirt. I have a big red T-shirt with a carp on it. Hey, but I don't wear it this year. You know, they got to win again. We go from one significant event to another. And you know, it's just, that's our culture. That's the world we live in. And we do this with our children, too. Unfortunately, I probably did it with mine. They bring home a good report, and I go, yay, don't stop. You know, don't stop. You bring home a, you know, you made an A now. You got to stay up there. And we do it with God, too. God has delivered us. He's taken us out of situations that are way bigger than we are. He has come through when we needed him to, but as soon as the next problem arises, we forget the deliverance that we witnessed or that we experienced early on in our lives. So there is a beauty and a value in pausing and reflecting individually and as the body, as a church, remembering all that God has done in our lives. And how good that is. Recalling what God has brought us out of and what he has brought us into is good for us individually and as a body. Okay, time for another group discussion. Oh, no. This time, I want you to think about a time when God came through to you. You know, sometimes we love God's presence and what he does for us. And then, you know, other times we kind of slip away and kind of go on and we don't get around other Christians. We don't read the word. So what I want you to do in your group now is tell about your deepest sin. No, I'm just kidding. No, just kidding. I want you to get together with, you know, two or three people for 3 or 4 minutes and talk about a time, and it can be a time when you kind of slipped away and God brought you back. It could be that. But here's, it's not a question this time. It's talk about a time with your groups of three or so when God came through for you. Okay? Talk about a time when God came through for you. If you're not a believer and you get in one of those groups, just listen. It'll be good for you to listen. But go ahead. Get together with somebody and two other people at least and talk about a time when God came through for you. Okay? Yeah, of course. It's not going to get easier. Stories of God's provision and deliverance can be motivating and fun, encouraging. So go for it. You got another minute. But no longer. No, just kidding. I was kidding. Can I say no when the senior pastor's back there? No, I guess not. He's probably the one taking all the time. Good? All right. Ah, it's pretty encouraging, huh, to hear these stories of God's intervention. All right. Well, let's move on. Chapter 13, verse 11 this time. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you as he promised on oath to you and your ancestors. And I know there's a comma there and we could go on, right? But I just want to look at these first eight words of this verse because it's so important. After the Lord brings you into the land, that's enough, right? So what is Moses speaking to? He is speaking to what God has already promised. He's speaking about what God's going to make happen. God has promised the Israelites a land flowing with milk and honey, but they haven't arrived yet. And there's an important lesson here. One of the main purposes of remembering what God has done is that it helps us to trust what comes next. One of the important purposes of remembering what God has done is that it helps us to trust God for what is next. Think about it. When we have to trust someone, we have to have some context, right, for that trust. There has to be some reason for it. We need a reason to trust that person. Well, God doesn't work in our lives with blind trust either. He knows that we need to trust him, so he gives us his resume, right? Big CV. But also, we remember his word, but we remember what he's done in our lives. God earns our trust based on what he has done. And as soon as we forget what God has done, we are creating a barrier for trusting God for whatever life situation comes up next, right? That's why we need to remember. Well, why am I going to pray? Well, remember I prayed before and God answered my prayers. And I was in a group of church and they talked about God answered our prayers. That's why we give you so much time to testify at Mitaki, because we're all encouraged about seeing what and hearing about what God has done. And listen to this word trust, and this thing called trust, it's a very peculiar resource, isn't it? It's one of the only things that expands as you use it, right? Trust expands as you use it. All other resources, water, oil, food, diesel, all of these, they diminish as you use them. Trust is different. The more we trust God, and the more we see Him coming through, the more our trust grows. It expands. We don't remember just to celebrate what God has done, but we remember to keep building that trust so we will have something to hang on to as we move forward in our walk with Christ. Moses had to continually remind the Israelites of what God had done. They were moving toward the promised land, but they weren't there yet. But he knew they needed a reminder of God's provision to be able to continue forward. And this is important. This is really, really important. I'm so glad for the testimonies, because I was, as you were testifying, I'm going, yes, 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 this is so good. So I don't have to preach anymore. So, but I'm preaching anyway. Trusting God doesn't just mean that God is only working to produce the circumstances you want. Rather, God is at work producing the you He wants. Got the difference? Let me say it again. Trusting God doesn't just mean that God is at work producing the circumstances you want. He's at work producing the you He wants, the kind of person He wants you to be. So reminding ourselves how God has worked through our difficult situations and how we as the body of Christ have experienced these difficult situations, this helps us to trust God the next time so that we become more and more and more the person we are intended to be. That's what God's doing in us. It's much more important for you to go through a certain struggle and become the person that God wants you to be than it is for Him to answer your prayer the way you think He should. Right? He knows much better what we need than we do. Don't throw anything at me, please. One more time. This is the last time, I promise. Get into your groups. And here's the situation I want you to discuss this time. It's the first time I've ever done this, and it has nothing to do with my sister being here. This is just something. Ask God. If you want to know why, ask God. Here's the question. What situation do you need to trust God with right now? What situation do you need to trust God with right now? Got it? What situation do you need to trust God with right now? Go. As they say online. All right. Thank you for sharing. I know it's not easy to open up some of the things you're facing right now, huh? It's not always easy to open up, but we need to. This is the body of believers here, our brothers and sisters, our family. And it's good to remember, right, and share. All right, let's look at verses 14 through 16. I'll read from that, and you can follow along. Verses 14 through 16 of chapter 13 of Exodus. In the days to come, when your son asks you, "What does this mean?" say to him, "With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn of both people and animals in Egypt. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons." And it will be, and then he repeats that one verse, "And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand." When I read this a couple of times as I did research for this sermon, I started to really love what Moses does here. And I can appreciate it now that I'm kind of old myself, a little old. He implores, Moses implores the older generation to impart wisdom to the younger generation, which is kind of, Pastor Hiroshi just gave that kind of what he's trusting God for. He's saying to the older believers, the people who've been believers for a long time, to the older generation, tell the young people about this. When your son asks you, what does this mean? When he wants to know, what are we doing? Why are we doing what we do? Tell him your story. Tell him our story. That's what Moses is saying. One of the key values in remembering our deliverance and provision is to remember that it's not just about me. Yes, it's about giving God the glory, but it's about sharing what God has done for us. So when we reflect on who God is and who God has been to us, there will always be people who don't know Jesus. There will always be people around us who haven't experienced God the way you and I have. And it's up to us to explain that. Who's going to tell them? Throughout this chapter, we can see Moses saying you, us. And the you he uses is the plural form of the word you. He's talking to all of you, to the people of Israel, saying, remember, tell others. Right? It's what we remember in community is so important. It's important for the individual too, but as a body, it's up to us to explain as the body and as individuals what God has done for us. So through remembering, God makes provision for the outsider, the unbeliever, anyone who is not yet part of this. It allows the non-believer the opportunity to become a part of this. That's one of the reasons we remember. There will always be people who don't understand the relationship you and I have with the Creator of the universe. They won't know what's going on around us. They won't know why we go to church on Sunday, why we go to Bible study throughout the week, why we pray, why we read our Bible, why we listen to Christian teaching and music. They won't know what's going on. They won't know why we do what we do, why we act as we act. They won't know the importance or the significance of what we do or why we say important things unless we tell them the stories of what God has done in my life will die with me unless I make opportunities to pass my story along. Remembering has been a mandate for the people of God from the moment of the deliverance of the people of Israel. It's never changed. It's not just a one-time rescue, is it? God is rescuing us all throughout our lives, isn't he? Or is it just me? I feel like, I got saved, and I know that God's not saving me all the time. I'm not getting saved. Oh, I sinned. I got to get saved again. Oh, no. That's what some people believe, maybe, but I'm talking about God is saving me from me all day long, every day long. He's delivering us all the time. One of the important reasons why we get together in fellowship, like today, is so that we can remember who God is and what he has done. This chapter, Exodus 13, I encourage you to read it a couple of times. I think it teaches the biblical pattern for remembering. God called the whole nation of Israel, never forget the Exodus. That's what God was saying. And this helps us today as believers not to forget our Exodus. We need to hold on to our deliverance that God has provided each one of us who believes, each one of us who follows him has been delivered. It's an exodus from guilt, an exodus from shame, addictions, brokenness, hurt, disappointment, bondage to sin, and much more, right? All of us have a story. Remembering is so important in our journey with the Lord. It's the same reason that athletes and musicians spend so much time practicing what they do, right? They are working hard to commit to a variety of situations so they can remember them, so their body and their mind and their hands can remember them, right? When you see the best second baseman in all of baseball, number 33, Ryosuke Kikuchi from the Carp, when he's out there and he performs another amazing defensive play, and it's on the highlights, and it's just, wow, how could he do that? He's got to be the best. He's going to play in the major league someday. When you see that, you can bet it's because he practiced and practiced and practiced that scenario time and time again. So his body and all his senses would remember. Without thinking, this second baseman leans back into the experiences that he learned at practice, right? Okay, so as we remember too what God has done, it becomes second nature to us to trust him, to tell others about him, to pass on the story. All right, let's summarize the end of the chapter, the last two verses, verses 21 and 22. I think they're the last two. Close enough. Let me read. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Ah, oh, I love these verses. God led them. He was so close. In a way, he was actually visible to them. Why? God provided a constant reminder to them, I am with you. And he never left. The Israelites always knew God is with us. Thousands of years later, a descendant of these people would be born to a virgin. And as the prophecy said, they called him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. 33 years after he was born, Emmanuel, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would go to a cruel cross and be crucified. And he would be resurrected to rescue God's people from their sin. But before he did, he gathered with his disciples one more time. He had done this hundreds of times before, but he gathered with them one more time, and he picked up a cup. We have little cups here today. He picked up a cup of wine, and he told them to drink, and he said that it represented his blood that would be shed for them. Then he took some bread, and he broke it, and he told them, this represents my body, which would be torn and broken for you. Then do you know what he told them? You do know. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember my grace. Remember my deliverance. Remember me. Taking this cup and this grape juice, or taking this bread and this cup, is the ultimate form of remembrance. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection or too good to forget. It reminds us to trust God for what's next. And it is most definitely not just for us. Amen? We're going to take communion. It's not the first Sunday of the month, but I thought it would be good with today's message. We remember what Christ has done for us. We've talked a lot. You've been very patient and vulnerable today to share your hearts with others. And now we're going to do the ultimate form of remembrance. We're going to share in communion. And let me say that if you're here today and you are a Christian, you've been born again, you're so welcome to join us in this ceremony. It's a Christian ceremony. It's a ceremony for believers. If you're not a believer, you're welcome to stay in your seat. And if you have any questions, we can talk about that later. But let's get the worship team up here if we can. And is that too short a notice to get you up here? We'll let the worship team rest. Okay, short notice. Sorry about that. But let's just go to God in prayer. We're not going to put up the scripture or anything. I think we understand what's going on here. But let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would bless this special time of receiving the cup and the bread that represents your broken body. We thank you, Lord, for what Jesus has done for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, let's all stand. The worship team is coming up. Okay, good. Okay, let's come. Please come forward and